Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really interesting area where technology meets healthcare.
Yeah, specifically using machine learning to understand people hospitalized with COPD flare-ups better.
Exactly. It's about getting a clearer picture of just how different these experiences can be.
That's right. We've got a fascinating study to delve into.
Yeah.
Using some, well, pretty advanced techniques to really characterize these patients during a critical time.
Right. So we're moving beyond just the basics of COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. This deep dive is based on a study. It's called Clinical and Social Characterization of Patients Hospitalized for COPD Exacerbation Using Machine Learning Tools.
Quite a mouthful, but important work from Archivos de Bronconeumologia.
And our goal here is to pull out the key insights. You know, what does this research really tell us about understanding COPD and maybe even tailoring care down the line?
And our mission for you listening is to look past just the standard clinical stuff.
Yeah.
We want to help you grasp these distinct profiles of people having severe COPD episodes, especially considering the social factors, things that often get overlooked but are, well, really significant.
And when we say flare-up or exacerbation.
Right. We mean a sudden serious worsening of COPD symptoms, like more breathlessness, more coughing bad enough that you need urgent medical help, often in the hospital.
Okay, let's start unpacking this then. We know COPD affects the lungs, makes breathing hard, but this study really highlights how differently it hits people, doesn't it?
Absolutely, especially when they have these acute exacerbations needing hospital care. It's a really complex condition.
How so?
Well, what triggers a flare-up, how bad it gets, how it impacts daily life.
Yeah.
It just varies hugely from person to person.
And traditional methods sometimes struggle with that variability.
They can, yeah. They don't always capture the full picture.
So this is where the machine learning comes in. It sounds quite innovative for this field.
It is. Instead of grouping patients based on preset ideas, the researchers use machine learning to see if natural groupings or clusters emerge from the data itself.
Letting the data speak, essentially.
Exactly. The powerful way to find patterns, connections you might not spot otherwise.
Okay, so how did they actually do it? What was the setup?
They looked at data from 524 patients. These were all people hospitalized for severe COPD flare-ups in northwestern Spain between 2018 and 2022.
524, that's a decent number.
It is. And the data they collected was incredibly comprehensive, not just lung function tests.
Right. What kind of things?
Well, the basics. Age, sex, BMI, then loads of clinical details, COPD severity, other health conditions or comorbidities, meds, previous hospital stays.
But the really interesting part, for me anyway, is that they went beyond the purely medical, right?
Absolutely. That's key here. They gathered detailed social information, too. Things like education level, income, rural versus urban living, who they lived with, their social support network.
Yeah.
Even how much help they needed with daily activities, their dependency level.
Wow, that really does paint a much fuller picture of the person, not just the patient.
Precisely. And to handle all this mixed data numbers and descriptive factors, they used a specific algorithm called K-prototypes.
Okay, K-prototypes. And that helped them find, was it four distinct groups?
That's right, four quite informative clusters emerged.
Let's dig into those. What did cluster A look like? That was the biggest group, wasn't it?
Yes, cluster A was the largest, about a third of the patients. These tend to be slightly younger males.
Younger, okay.
And critically, they generally had milder COPD, better lung function scores, less breathlessness, fewer past exacerbations.
And socially.
Lower levels of dependency in daily life. They seemed pretty well integrated socially, didn't need formal social services as much.
Interesting.
And they were more likely to live in rural areas and own their homes.
So maybe a picture of slightly better health, maybe more independence, perhaps linked to that rural setting or community ties.
That's a reasonable interpretation, yeah. A different kind of support network, perhaps.
Okay. What about the next one? Cluster B, smaller group.
Yep. Just under 17%. This was cluster B. Mostly older males.
Older, right.
And the big thing here was a high rate of heart disease alongside the COPD.
Ah, cardiovascular issues.
Exactly. But interestingly, they tended to be in good socioeconomic shape. Mostly urban dwellers, good social connections, high home ownership again.
So managing serious health issues, but maybe with more resources.
Seems like it. They also had more previous hospital stays and higher vaccination rates. They needed minimal help with basic activities, but some intermediate help with more complex things like managing money or getting around.
So a complex medical picture, but maybe a stronger foundation to cope compared to some others.
That's a good way to think about it. Now, cluster C, this one stood out for different reasons, about 16% of patients.
Okay, what defined cluster C?
This is the youngest group on average. And a more balanced mix of men and women.
Younger. What else?
Lower BMI, lower immunization rates.
Yeah.
But what was really striking was the psychosocial side.
How so?
Higher rates of active smoking, significant alcohol or drug use reported, plus more anxiety and depression.
Oh, wow.
And socioeconomically, they were struggling more. Lowest income, lowest home ownership, more contact with social workers.
That sounds like a really tough situation.
It does. And despite being younger and less physically dependent than some others, they actually reported the fewest social connections and were most likely to live alone.
So younger, but facing this combination of COPD with really significant social and mental health challenges, a very vulnerable group.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Needs a very different kind of support, you'd imagine.
Definitely. Okay, that leaves cluster D, the second largest group.
Right, cluster D making up just over 30%. These were older males, again, similar in age profile, somewhat to cluster B, but very different in other ways. The defining feature was a high degree of dependency and lots of other health problems, multiple comorbidities.
So significant health burden overall.
Yes. Even though their basic lung function wasn't always worse than other groups, they reported much higher levels of breathlessness and clinical impact from their COPD.
Really feeling the effects more.
Seems so. They were the most likely to need continuous oxygen at home and use nebulizers. And, crucially, they had the highest dependency needs, both for basic self-care and instrumental tasks.
And socially.
They were the most isolated. Social contacts were mainly limited to family and caregivers, and they relied heavily on social services.
So older individuals, very high care needs, quite isolated.
That's the picture. Significant physical needs and limited social networks beyond that immediate care circle.
Okay, so we have these four distinct profiles. Now, the really crucial question is, did belonging to a certain cluster actually predict what happened to them?
It absolutely did. The outcomes were quite different across the clusters.
Tell us about that. Where was the impact most severe?
Unsurprisingly, perhaps, cluster D, the older, highly dependent group, fared the worst.
That was so.
They had the longest hospital stays, by far the highest rates of being readmitted within 30 and 90 days.
Oh, dear.
And also the highest mortality rates, both at 12 months and 24 months after their initial hospitalization.
Mm.
They were also most likely to die during that hospital stay.
That's incredibly stark. It really underscores their vulnerability.
It does. It points towards a real need for things like proactive palliative care and much better coordinated social support for these patients.
What about the others? Cluster B, the older ones with heart disease, but better resources.
They had sort of intermediate outcomes, resource use, mortality rates. They were in the middle.
And clusters A and C, the younger groups.
Interestingly, both cluster A, milder rural, and cluster C, younger psychosocial issues, had lower resource use and lower mortality compared to B and D.
Even cluster C, despite the smoking and mental health issues.
Even cluster C. It really suggests that factors beyond just age and the number of physical comorbidities are playing a huge role in outcomes. It's not a simple picture.
That's a really powerful point. It's not just about the lungs or age.
Exactly. And the researchers didn't stop there. They developed something called an Intelligent Clinical Decision Support System, ICDSS.
Okay, ICDSS. Sounds practical. What's the aim of that?
The idea was to create a tool that could help quickly classify new patients into these four clusters, but using fewer data points than the original massive research data set.
Ah, like a shortcut for busy clinicians.
Precisely. In a busy hospital, you might not have time to gather every single social detail immediately.
So did it work? Was it accurate?
Remarkably so, actually, using just five key variables.
Only five. Which ones?
Dependency in basic activities, dependency in instrumental activities, age, BMI, and the number of prior hospitalizations for COPD, just those five. With just those five, the system could classify patients into the right cluster with really high accuracy. They measured it using something called AUC, and it was over 0.9.
Which is very good, right?
Very good, yes. It means the tool is great at distinguishing between the groups.
And it got even better with more info.
It did. When they added more variables up to 10, then 15 things like lung function scores, breathlessness levels, even home ownership and vaccination status.
Yeah.
The accuracy got even higher, very close to perfect classification.
Wow. So this ICDSS could potentially be a really valuable tool for doctors and nurses on the ground.
That's the hope. It could help streamline decisions, anticipate needs, maybe even tailor discharge planning based on which cluster a patient seems to fit.
Thinking about, you know, who might need more follow-up or specific kinds of support after leaving hospital.
Exactly. Of course, putting something like this into practice has its own hurdles integrating it into hospital systems, training staff.
Sure, implementation is always key, but the potential seems clear. So zooming out a bit, what are the really big takeaways here? What does this study tell us overall?
I think the biggest message is just how vital it is to consider the whole person, including their social situation, the social determinants of health when managing COPD.
It's not just a lung disease in isolation.
Not at all. It's embedded in someone's life. Mm-hmm. This study really pushes for more personalized COPD care.
And these clusters give us a framework for thinking about what that personalized care might look like, right?
Exactly. You could imagine different strategies. Maybe telemedicine is great for cluster A in rural areas.
Right.
For cluster B, aggressively managing the heart disease is probably paramount.
Makes sense.
Cluster C clearly needs integrated mental health support, help with substance use, social integration, maybe financial advice.
A whole package of care.
Yeah. And cluster D points strongly towards comprehensive palliative approaches, better coordination between health and social care, supporting caregivers.
It's a much more nuanced approach than a one-size-fits-all treatment plan.
It really is. Now, the researchers acknowledged limitations, like it being done in one region in Spain.
Okay.
But they also pointed out their findings align well with other big COPD studies, and their data collection was very thorough, with good follow-up.
So overall, it feels like a solid piece of work.
I think so. And it really showcases how tools like AI and machine learning can help us untangle the complexity of chronic diseases like COPD.
Moving us towards that goal of more personalized, effective healthcare.
That's the potential, yes. Gaining a deeper understanding of these variations within patient groups allows for much more targeted interventions.
Okay, so wrapping this up, this deep dive really hammered home that people hospitalized with COPD aren't a uniform group.
Not at all. Machine learning helped reveal these distinct clusters based on a mix of clinical and crucial social factors.
And those profiles really matter for their outcomes.
They really do. And for you listening, we hope this gives you a richer, more nuanced view of what people face during severe COPD episodes.
It's a reminder, isn't it, that it's not just about the lungs, but about the whole person and their environment.
Absolutely.
Which leads us to a final thought for you to chew on. Given these clear differences between patient groups, these clusters, how can our healthcare systems actually adapt? How can we get better at providing that tailored support, looking beyond the immediate medical problem to the person's life context?
It really prompts reflection on integrating social care with healthcare, doesn't it? And thinking about how technology, like the AI used here, might help us finally achieve truly personalized medicine.
Lots to think about there. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.